And that kind of gesture that embodies guest service, which is why I love sharing people's stories that are successful, because I feel that that inspires others. But for it to happen to me on the outside of Walt Disney World and the outside world, to get great guest service like that, I was just blown away. Gregory and I were just blown away. So I can't believe what a day I had today. It was really, really bad. It was Charlie Brown, my cat, was showing signs that he was just depressed and lethargic last night and didn't want to eat or drink. So I was getting really concerned, and Gregory wasn't home yet. He was with the family. So after 2 hours of me trying to figure out what was going on, I just went to sleep because I just wanted to sleep it off in case Charlie Brown woke up being more lively. So, but I did wake up to Gregory coming home, and I told him what happened. So Gregory was trying to console Charlie because he was just being so lifeless. Anyway, this morning we found out that he was getting worse and he wasn't himself. So I took him to the emergency vet hospital, which gave me news that was very alarming. It was about his heart, and they did x-rays, and they speculate it could have been a heart issue and that it would cost thousands of dollars to fix. So I thought we had to put him down as a worst case scenario. Putting him down, this would have been the last day I would have seen Charlie.
Welcome to Less is More, the Art of Guest Service. I'm your host, Les Sui.
Hi, this is Gregory tuning in. Today's episode is not going to be about how much we love our cat or how traumatic an experience it is to go to the emergency vet, but it's going to be about how a little bit of guest service can take one of the worst days and turn it into something great. And I really want Les to zoom in and focus on what this moment was for us that took us out of this moment of crisis and gave us a little bit of hope in humanity. And honestly, a little hope in youth. So stay tuned and listen to his story.
So I can't believe what a day I had today. It was really, really bad. It was Charlie Brown, my cat, was showing signs that he was just depressed and lethargic last night and didn't want to eat or drink. So I was getting really concerned, and Gregory wasn't home yet. He was with the family. So after 2 hours of me trying to figure out what was going on, I just went to sleep because I just wanted to sleep it off in case Charlie Brown woke up being more lively. So, but I did wake up to Gregory coming home, and I told him what happened. So Gregory was trying to console Charlie because he was just being so lifeless. Anyway, this morning we found out that he was getting worse and he wasn't himself. So I took him to the emergency vet hospital, which gave me news that was very alarming. It was about his heart, and they did x-rays, and they speculate it could have been a heart issue and that it would cost thousands of dollars to fix. So I thought we had to put him down as a worst case scenario. Putting him down, this would have been the last day I would have seen Charlie. So I went home to Gregory, who told me otherwise, not to worry and just to weigh it out and see what happens before we put him down or made that decision. Well, we went to the vet that I remembered we went last week to visit for a dental consultation, and I failed to tell the emergency hospital about that visit because my mind was not there this morning, so I wasn't really thinking or being focused. So we did contact the veterinarian that helped us out, and they were able to see us and fit us in because it was like a follow-up and it was an emergency. So we went to see him, and our doctor, who was amazing, gave us news that Gregory could only understand. It was all these medical terms. But in essence, there was hope more than just spending thousands of dollars on procedure on a heart condition that wasn't even a heart condition. It would turned out to be more of a lung infection or something with the fluids. So we're just going to see what happens with that tonight, giving him some oxygen so he can breathe better. But Gregory and I decided to take a break from being at the vet because we had to wait another 3 hours for the oxygen to go into Charlie Brown's lungs. So we decided to go to Dunkin' Donuts for some coffee and a bite. And we went inside and there was only just little teenagers hanging out in the after school time. And we came across a employee at Dunkin' Donuts who took our order. It was very cheerful and happy. And just by her saying hi and how are you doing, it made it feel a little bit better. I was going to actually tell her that because she said hello, it just made it a lot better. But Gregory went on to say that it has been a day and it's been challenging. And so she said, I'm so sorry to hear about that. And she sounded very definitely genuine while being very happy at the same time. She took our order, very patient, very happy, very kind. And then she took our order from the back. I mean, she created our sandwich order and coffee. After 5 minutes, she came out with our bag. And so we went out of the restaurant. We were opening the bag to eat our food. And we found a note from her. And it's like a handwritten note, says from Aggie or Agatha. She says something along the lines of, I'm so sorry that you had a very bad day. Here are two extra sandwiches on me, period. I hope it gets better, period. And that was mind-blowing. Normally, on my side, at Walt Disney World, as a Disney cast member, I would be doing that, and I would be doing that for guests every day. But for it to happen to me on the outside of Walt Disney World and the outside world, to get great guest service like that, I was just blown away. Gregory and I were just blown away. Our mouths just dropped. And what we did was we went back inside and we thanked her for such a great note. And I learned a little bit more about Agatha, and I learned that she's only 16 years old and she just loves what she do. She's very passionate and happy in life. So I wanted to tell her that. I wanted to give her a shout out and just mention her story because it is just so impactful and powerful. And that kind of gesture that embodies guest service, which is why I love sharing people's stories that are successful, because I feel that inspires others. So that was my day so far. And Agatha was the light at the end of the tunnel that kind of helped us give us hope. Hope about Charlie getting better, and also hope about humanity and about people being there for each other. And that's just an important part about life, is just being there to support each other, and that helps them to keep on going.
Yeah, and just to add to that, being there with Les and just seeing how much agony watching a pet go through in a medical emergency like this, you know, you kind of take for granted that we have the ability to communicate with others when we're in pain or when we don't feel good. We can say, hey, I don't feel good, or hey, I need to see a doctor. Pets can't do that. You know, they just look at you and you know, they're really banking on you knowing them and having that intuition. And, you know, for our cat to be so uncharacteristically like what he was, you know, of course it made us very, very scared as pet owners that we were going to lose him that day, like Les said. And, you know, like after the emotional exhaustion of hours and hours of trying to figure out how do we solve this? You know, we're not doctors, we're not veterinarians, I'm not a cat scientist, but you know what? We eventually got there. We got him to a place where he could get some help. And then, you know, at that point, you're like, I don't know what else to do. You know, you're in a waiting room and they may or may not be succeeding, and they're behind that door, and there's nothing you could do as a pet owner. So we just went to Dunkin' Donuts because what else is there to do besides sit there and wait? And thank God we did, because we were greeted with the warmest smile and somebody who genuinely loved her job. She loved being there and just being in this groove. And, you could tell that you were in the presence of someone behind the counter that really, really knew what she was doing, and she was just in her zone. So just that, from that moment, our day picked up, and it's kind of like the stars align, and you just need that one little nudge or that one domino to fall in the right direction, and that's what happened.
All right, so we are coming out of a week later, exactly a week, and just to do a follow-up of Charlie, he's doing so much better now. For those who were curious about, he's jumping up and down, running around. This morning, he banged on the shower door, which he normally would do, but when he was sick, he didn't, and I missed that sound. So he's back to normal and just doing a little more follow-up visits, but the doctors say he's great.
Yeah, I can't agree more. Charlie Brown really is himself again. And with that said, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to interview you about the situation, and we'll just see what goes from there. So first question, can you share some basics about Charlie Brown? Like, what kind of cat is he? How old is he? And has he ever had this problem before?
Charlie Brown, his birthday is May 2nd of 2020. And he's never had this issue before. So this is the first time of this. When he was a couple months old, I never owned a cat before. So when I was watching television one morning, I just saw him sleeping, and I noticed he slept for like hours and hours. But to me, I thought that was abnormal. So I looked it up, and I just read that cats just like to sleep all day. So that was the only scare that I had since then, knowing about this condition that he had. I think it's something with the lungs, and fluid was clogging up the lungs, so it made it hard for him to breathe. But I did follow up visits with the doctor, and it seems like everything's great. It was worth the trip because it's an hour one way to the doctor's from where I live. So it was an adventure for 3 days, but it was worth it.
All right. So thinking more about that day, you mentioned before when I got home, you just needed to go to sleep. Can you talk more about that and maybe why choosing to go to sleep in a time of crisis?
So when I called Gregory after I got home from the ER, I was mentally exhausted. And so I just gave up. I couldn't bear the fact that I was trying to find a way to save Charlie and trying to come up with the money, but it was just so much overwhelming. It was too overwhelming. So I decided to just go home and sleep because I thought that sleep would be the only best way I could handle myself and not worry and not have those feelings that I felt when I was awake watching Charlie suffer. So going to sleep, I was in hopes that when I wake up, Charlie would be fine. And that's why I did what I did before Gregory came home.
You mentioned having a conversation with the emergency vet about euthanasia. That's a very serious outcome for anyone with a pet. If you were that veterinarian, how would you have had that conversation with a client just like you? How would you use your training and guest service to help that person who's just got to hear the bad news that they got to put their pet down?
My approach would be along the lines of I would try harder to work on things instead of giving the easy way out, which was what the doctor seemed like he was doing, where he was being honest and he told me that this service that he provides is only for x-rays, and he would have to send me to a specialist, which is about an hour and a half away, and I would have to go there and not even guarantee that I have an appointment with them because they were just so busy. So I felt that he tried, but in my case, I would definitely find another solution that, you know, it's a tough call on that one. But I would say to break it to them gently,
but in a reassuring way. What he did was sounded very overwhelming. He could have said something that was more reassuring to me, like, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm sure that there's going to be a way to fix this, and just to be more reassuring to your customers or your guests, and to let them know that you are on their side and that you are there to help fix the situation, and you are rooting for that cat that you're trying to save.
When we were waiting for a second opinion at that second veterinarian after you left the ER, we were sitting in the waiting room and we started to reminisce about some stories about Charlie Brown and what he means to us. Can you share some of those stories with our listeners?
About how Charlie affected our lives?
Yeah.
He was there for me whenever I was going through a rough patch. Before I met Gregory, I was going through a breakup of 10 years. Or not breakup of 10 years, but a relationship of 10 years. And so I was trying to recover and find a way to cope with it. And I decided to buy a cat or adopt a cat. So Charlie came into my life and he was just a joy from the beginning. I've never been a cat owner, but when I first saw him and he came crawling to me on my chest and started looking at me and meowing, I knew that he was the one for me. But what was funny was that afternoon when I brought him home and I was playing with him, I took a little nap, and when I woke up, I couldn't find him anywhere. I looked all over the house for 30 minutes. I couldn't find him, and I was scared because I thought he went somehow in a hole or drain somewhere that I wasn't aware of in my condominium. But I couldn't figure out what was going on. I seriously thought something happened. So I called Jamie, my best friend, and she came to my rescue. She helped me look for Charlie, and we looked all over. And she decided to look at my at the ottoman, because we just noticed that our ottoman chair had like a little hole in it. So we heard like a little meow, and Charlie went inside my favorite ottoman, and he was deep inside of there, crawling in. And so Jamie helped me to try to get Charlie. And she said, I'm sorry, but I will have to wreck this couch. She got a hammer and started going into town, disassembling this couch with things flying everywhere. And it was just like a bloodbath from my couch. But we finally got Charlie. And here I was with this cute little kitten, probably giving me this look like, haha, like this is a start of a fun adventure. But he was just very sneaky and very, very innocent, but yet very mischievous. But from that day on, he just brought so much fun and joy to our lives. And this is Gregory and our child.
So more on Agatha. We were both blown away by the guest service this employee at Dunkin' performed. Can you tell the listeners a little more about what she was doing in her role? She wasn't just a cashier that day, right?
She wasn't a cashier that day. I felt she was more like a friend, a therapist. We walked into the Dunkin' Donuts establishment and we asked for... we were looking at the menu and this girl, a happy peppy girl, came out of nowhere and jumped up and behind the register and took our order. And yeah, that excitement and positivity passed it on to us. And she asked how we were doing, and Gregory honestly told her that it was been a challenging day for him. It wasn't a good day. And she looked very sympathetic. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry to hear about that. But she graciously took our order and was very patient, as we were very picky on what we wanted in our beverage and food that day. So we ordered two breakfast sandwiches, I believe, and two drinks. And a couple of minutes had passed by. We looked around the restaurant and there was four high school girls or young teens hanging out after school, just doing their own business, minding their own business. So it's kind of quiet in there. All of a sudden, Agatha comes back with her, with the bags of food and drinks. And we thanked her as we walked to our car. I opened up the bag and noticed there was like a note in the bag. And that little note said something about, well, the note said from Aggie, which is our wonderful Dunkin' employee. Aggie for Agatha is her full name. So I opened up the note and it said, thank you for being so kind to me. I hope you have a really great day. I'm so sorry for you having a bad day, and love, Agatha. That meant the world to me at that moment, because that is something that actually brought joy into Gregory and I. I told Gregory about the note and we both read it and we're just so excited, but also surprised that someone that we didn't know, that we just met, surprised us with such an amazing gesture. We immediately went back to the restaurant and we thanked her for, also, by the way, she left us two extra sandwiches. So that was a nice surprise within itself. So she said the extra sandwiches are on me. And that was on the note as well. So it was just something so small and so simple as a hello. And that sandwich to her and the company probably costed her them a dime, but to us that meant the world, and we definitely will go back and support that establishment, because, and we even wrote a note to the corporate office about her and what a great job she did. So yeah, that she definitely turned our day around, and she was a hero for the day.
Can you think of a time in your career when a guest approached you just as overwhelmed and desperate as we were that day? What was their situation, and what did you do as a result?
So let me tell you of a story about the hot dog lady. So there's a guest that I famously called the hot dog lady. And the reason why I do that is because a couple of years ago, my friend Britt and I were working at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and we came across her, and she was such a great guest. We interacted with her, and she said she was going to go and get a hot dog after our interaction. And we joked around and we said, hey, bring us back one too. Not thinking that she would bring us back one, but surprisingly she did. About 30 minutes later, she came back with two hot dogs and two drinks. And we thanked her. We told her that we're not allowed to take it because we're not allowed to eat on stage. And we're not supposed to take gifts from guests. But just that thought and the gesture meant so much to us. She is a frequent visitor to the Walt Disney World Resort. She is from Massachusetts. So whenever I see her and she comes to visit me, I call her the hot dog lady. And to this day, we are close friends. And just it goes to show that a small gesture can go a long way. And you never know when you can make friends out of this. Just from this organic relationship that we had, that one moment at Disney that turned into something so huge. So sometimes a simple hello can go a long way. Or a hot dog.
I see what you did there. You totally flipped the script. So this time, the guest was the one who showed you the kindness. I like what you did. All right. So next question. So for listeners who work with guests every day, how can you tell if a guest just needs a little extra kindness?
Well, the thing is, I don't. I don't know if they need a little bit more kindness. But I do know that treating people with courtesy and respect can help them or may help the situation without me even knowing it. I feel it's very important to greet each and every single guest and cast member that you walk by or even interact with. In the mornings when the guests walk through the parks, I always make it a point to say hi to every single person that I am able to say hi to. Because a hello can go a long way. You never know if someone comes to the parks because they are celebrating coming to the parks without their loved ones.
who passed away, and visiting Disney was a favorite thing of theirs. And they're now they're traveling by themselves, but saying hello just reassures them that they came to a very happy place, that people respect them. So treating every single person with courtesy definitely goes a long way. Every single person that comes to Walt Disney World, everyone has a story. We don't know what that story is. It could be a family that's celebrating an anniversary, or that it's their grandmother's 90th birthday, or it's a dream of theirs to come to Disney World and they finally made it. Everyone has a story. So you yourself, even your kind little gesture or your hello or genuinely asking how they're doing, it can go a long way.
I couldn't agree more. All right. So what do you think told Agatha that we were genuinely having a rough day versus just looking for a handout? Like, how do you think she knew?
The thing is, Agatha didn't know. She probably says hello to everyone with the same enthusiasm and excitement as she saw us. But it's the way that the customer reacts at the same time can help the employee react to it. And it just creates a more positive effect. Because if someone is happy, it's contagious. It'll bring happiness to me. But if someone is upset or is not having such a great day, that can trickle down to me and affects me in itself. So that's why being happy to me and being positive and leaving your baggage in the car helps to create a fun and positive working atmosphere. I love to have fun myself. I love to joke around. So just having that positive atmosphere can affect the attitude of the other employees or cast members, and that in turn can affect their interactions with their guests itself. So Agatha looked like she was working there alone by herself, but yet she made it a point to make work fun. And you can tell from the passion and her enthusiasm that she enjoys life. And she's 16 years old. It was just amazing how she is so happy and so warm and friendly, and she's just so mature.
Knowing that everything is so digital nowadays, when you see a guest service person put pen to paper like she did, how does that make you feel as a guest?
When we saw that note, it was a small little gesture, but that note meant the world to me, because I imagine her being in the back of the kitchen trying to find a piece of paper and then a pen and then putting into words what she wrote. It took a while. And for her to do that, and her probably smiling and excited to give that to us, was just, it's sincerely amazing. And yeah, and to surprise us with that and the extra sandwiches, that was a great added touch to me, to our situation.
You're so spot on. All right, so last question. If Agatha is listening right now, what would you like to say to her?
All right, Agatha, if you're listening, I want to thank you. Gregory and I want to thank you for coming into our life and for being you, being the person you are, that you were just so genuine and just so happy. And you spread that love to us and you made us feel better, not even knowing what we were going through. But you did the right thing and you just made us happy. Something so small and simple, again, can go a long way. Kind of with my Pharaoh story, where if you just give him the pickle, you will earn the respect and love of your customers. And that in turn will make you feel good about yourself.
All right, you did it. You made it to the end of my interview. So thanks for listening, guys.
Thank you again for listening. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all your love and support. If you want to listen to my episode of Just Give Him the Pickle, it's in episode 2. But till then, we'll talk to you later.